Take our Bibles together this evening and turn into Romans chapter 8, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I think, to me, you may think different, and we'll not argue about that, but I think there we find three of the greatest words to a Christian in all of the writ of God. God for us. And we think of anything any more great than that. God for us. God for you and God for me. Think of that. Think of what God has done for us. He has done it for you and for me. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us. Now, naturally, we could say, since God be for us, because He is for you and He is for me. But if God be for us, or since God be for us, who can be against us? And what matter would it be if anyone were to be against us, since God be for us? But I'd like for us to notice about this, about the gift of God. Now, God was for you and for me when He gave a gift. And that gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. God was for you and for me when the death of the Lord Jesus Christ occurred on the cross of Calvary. It was for the world. It was for mankind. It wasn't for some other planet. We're told in the Word of God that God inhabited the earth, and it's for we who are upon this earth. I'd like for you to turn back with me to find out some wonderful things that I found out in studying this, and I've studied this a long time ago, but I thought I would bring it to you this evening. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, we will begin with verse 18, reading about Abraham, and we'll go through verse 25 in looking at this portion of Scripture. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now notice, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We're talking about today, believing today, and the raising of God's Son. This is something that has happened. It is a historical fact. It's a biblical fact. And we find that in these verses here, we have imputed righteousness. It is something that is imputed to you and to me, but it's conditional there if we believe. This imputed righteousness. God has given to you and given to me righteousness. God is for me. God is for you. So, but it's necessary that we believe. Now notice, what it says here, if we believe what? That God gave His Son? No, that isn't what it's saying. That God bruised His Son? No, that isn't what it's saying, even though those facts are true. But what was it that brought this precious Savior to the cross? What brought Him down to the dust of the earth? What was it? Was it not our offenses? It was our offenses that did this. Truly so. Look at verse 25. He was delivered for our offenses. He's for us. Our. That pronoun our in there. He was delivered for our offenses. Listen, my friend, he was nailed to the cursed tree for us. Not anything that he had done. God's for us. Oh, the preciousness of thinking of the God of the universe being for me and being for you. He represented me on the cross. He represented you on the cross. So we would have to say he was for us on the cross. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that Christ represented you on the cross? Oh, my friend, we'd never see the glories of heaven had he not done that. God for us. And though there's no one that can stand against God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he was our substitute. He was not there for any of his own sin. He was for our substitute. Now notice again in verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for this, raised again for our justification. Now my friend, if he had not been delivered for our offenses, he would not have, we could not be going to heaven. And there would have been of no need for him to be raised again for our justification. For if he had not died on the cross, we would have no justification. So this is so wonderful. He was nailed to the cursed tree for us. He substituted on the cross for me. Now just think of that. We often think that the very one for whom he was a substitute was Barabbas. And that is true in the sense that it was taking place. But he was a substitute for each and every one of us. Every one of us were taken into account. He died for us. And he took our place and was treated in every respect as we deserve to be treated. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. Now, I want you to understand this, and I want us to see just how gracious this is, or how gracious it was to me. In the eyes of God, he was treated as a murderer. He was treated as a thief. He was treated as an adulteress or adulterer. He was, or as an adulteress could be. He was treated in every respect that you and I as a sinner could be. And he was treated as this for what? For us. He was treated that way for you and for me. Oh, how this should make us love him more. How it should make us, as we have sung in that song, teach me thy way, O Lord. That we could really know the way of the Lord and the way that he would desire that we would see what Christ has truly done for us. Then we can, oh my friend, then we could come to the Lord's Supper and worship and worship and worship. And just feel so full of praise that we would, wouldn't care if it ever ended. And this is what we see when we see the person of the Lord being for us. The hand of infinite justice dealt with my sin and your sin, dealt with our sins. The hand of infinite justice dealt with our sins and all our sins, every one of them, at the cross. And not a one was left out. Now this is important. Not a one was left out. All our sins, the past, the present, and the future. Now listen. Jesus made himself responsible for those. Isn't he wonderful? Jesus made himself responsible for all our offenses. Now go back to verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses? He was delivered for all our offenses, our iniquities, our transgressions, our liabilities, all that was or ever could be against us. And to that we certainly should be able to say hallelujah. Everything that was ever against me, the Lord Jesus Christ took care of it. Oh, then we thank God for us. If God be for us, what a thought. What a thought when we bring that home to our heart. And Jesus made himself answerable for all. He made himself answerable for all, and he died in our stead. He died for me. He died for you. Under the full weight of my sin, under the full weight of your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died the just for the unjust. You and I were unjust when we were unsaved. We were unjust. But do we realize Jesus Christ made us just? He made us just and justified for all that he did there on that cross. Never has there been anything like that, and never will there be anything like that again. He needn't go to the cross again. It was done once for all, forever. And God was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now, where is this Lord Jesus now? Where is he now? Where is the Blessed One who hung on the cross of Calvary there on the hill of Golgotha and lay in the tomb later? Where is he now? Where is he? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And there we see, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he is. That's where our Lord is, and the one who hung on the cross. And who put him there? Who put the Lord Jesus Christ there? Who put the crown upon his brow? Look at Hebrews 2 and 9. And it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The one who gave him, the one who bruised him, is the one who raised him, and is the one whom we are to believe if we're to be counted righteous. Now, John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And we're told in Romans 10 and 9 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that what? God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the one who gave him, the one who bruised him, the one who raised him is the one whom we are to believe. He is the one that's for us. God is for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has witnessed to that fact. If we believe on him that sent him, and if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So then we're counted righteous. And righteousness shall be imputed to you and to me if we believe on God as the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I want us to mark this vital link as we're thinking about this. And the same one who hung on the cross, the same one that was charged with your offenses and my offenses, is now on the throne, now notice, without them. He paid for them. Now listen, he paid for them, and he paid for them in what? In full. They're paid for. And God raised him from the dead because he paid for them. Now notice this. This is so important when we see that God is for us. He is now on the throne without them. Now, how did he get there? How did he get to the throne without our sin? In the virtue of the Godhead, and you've heard me say that this was ever his. He could have had that at any time. Did he get there in the virtue of the Godhead? No. In the virtue of his eternal sonship? No, this too was ever his. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was ever with God. And he said in John 17, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. That was his. It belonged to him. But God is for you, and God is for me. Therefore, it could in no wise meet the need of guilty sinners. Listen, if the eternal Son of God, the Father, had taken his seat. If the eternal Son of God, the Father, had taken his seat, that place belonged to him. That place belonged to him because he paid the price for guilty sinners. He bore my sin. He bore your sin. Well, then we ask then, was the spotless, sinless, perfect man that our adorable Lord took his seat on the throne? No, it wasn't the spotless, sinless, perfect man who was our adorable Lord that took that place upon the throne. Because he again could have taken that at any time from the manger to the cross. We must arrive at a conclusion then, at the conclusion of why he was there. And to that most precious conclusion, we note these five things. He was the same one who was delivered. We see in chapter 4 and verse 25, Romans 4 and 25, it was the same person who was delivered, the same Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who was delivered for our offenses, for you and for me. This gave him the right. But not on, that's only number one. Number one, he was delivered for you and for me. Now think of that. God delivered this spotless, sinless, perfect man for you and for me. And secondly, the same one who was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities. God said this back in Isaiah 700 years before it had ever happened. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was delivered for me. He was bruised for me. And thirdly, it's the same one who was judged in our stead. And Romans 8 and 5 and 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. See, God judged him. God judged the Lord Jesus in your stead and my stead. I will never be judged for my sin of rejecting the Lord. I've already accepted him, and that is the sin that would keep me out of heaven, and that's the sin to keep God from being for me. And I'll never be judged for that, because he was delivered for my offenses, he was bruised for my iniquities, and he was judged in my stead. Now think of that. It says here, and notice this, but God commendeth his love. And you think about that for a while. If we could get the world, the unsaved world, to see that. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me when I was a sinner. Christ died for me when I was ungodly. And if I were not ungodly, then Christ didn't die for me, because he died for the ungodly. So he was the one who was delivered, the same one, the same God-man that was delivered, the same God-man that was bruised, the same God-man that was judged, all for me. And then fourthly, he's the same one who represented us on the cross. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. You probably know what it's going to be, but we'll look at it. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He's the one who represented us on the cross. Now notice what Peter is saying. Who his own self bare our sins. He had none of his own. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So notice this. How we come to this conclusion, and how do we come to this conclusion that he is there for you and for me? The same one who was delivered, the same one who was bruised, the same one who was judged, the same one who represented us, and fifthly, the same one who was charged with our guilt. The same one. And we find that if you look in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, and you will see there, now notice, he was charged with my guilt. God charged him with it. Now notice, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, sin for us. There's that for us again. For God made him sin. That to be is not in the original. For God made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now you notice and notice these things, and then say in your heart that God could not be before us, the same one who was delivered, the same one who was bruised, the same one who was judged, the same one who was representing us, the same one who was charged with our guilt. That was the person that was on the cross of Calvary, and that is the person who's now crowned with the glory and honor. He's crowned with glory and honor. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4 and 11 tells us there, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He is there crowned with glory and honor. The Lord Jesus Christ has so completely, perfectly, absolutely disposed of the entire question of our sins that infinite justice has raised him from the dead and placed him there and put a crown of glory on his sacred brow. Now, if he had not paid for our sins, then he could not be there in that way. And there can be no more sin against us. Now listen. Now listen to this. Do you think God honors what his Son has done? Then listen to this. How can a Christian have anything against him when he was delivered for you and for me? He was bruised for you and for me. He was judged for you and for me. And he represented you and represented me on the cross. And he was charged with your guilt and my guilt. Was God satisfied? God raised him from the dead. Now listen, is there any sin against the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, Christian, there's no sin against you. There's no sin, as far as judgmental sin, there's no sin against you. And this is so, so wonderful. If we could just understand this and just see its bearing upon you and upon me. We need to believe, and I ask, do you believe in the one who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead? That's what we're asked there in Romans 10 and 9. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen to what that's saying. And we need to know why God raised him from the dead. Because of our offenses. And he was delivered again for our justification, or raised for our justification. Do you see what I'm trying to say? In so doing, he has declared himself friendly to you. God has declared himself a father to us. No longer a God in judgment, but a father. We've become sons because we have trusted in what his Son has done, and when we do that, we're born from above. That's what God wants us to see. And we need to see that by believing that in raising up Jesus, God says, I am satisfied. Listen to that. God says, I am satisfied. And listen, he has furnished you a receipt. God has furnished a receipt for you and for me, and it says, paid in full. All my sin debts are paid in full. No wonder as we go, let's turn to Romans 8 again. Romans 8, and look at these verses before what we were reading. After what we were reading. in verse 37 starts, or let's look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, because he was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was judged in my stead. He represented me on the cross, and he was charged with my guilt. He is all, when we sing that wonderful hymn, Jesus paid it all, we should shout hallelujah. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He's completely, perfectly, and absolutely paid my debt. Now, if Jesus is in heaven, now listen, if we go back to Romans 4 and 25, if Jesus is in heaven, now notice, then my offenses must be gone. Isn't that not right? If Jesus is in heaven, my offenses must be gone. How wonderful, how blessed this is. And we stand justified from all things, as we just read there. We're justified from all things. If we could only realize this, we're as free as the Blessed One Himself. Free as the Blessed One Himself. Mr. Brandon Hall and I were talking sometime before I went away, and one of his friends was talking about faith is in the hands of Jesus, and this friend was telling someone else that they hoped that she would go to heaven. So she says, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm as safe as a finger of Jesus. A part of it. We're not safe as in the arms of Jesus. We're safe as the arms of Jesus. We are a part of him. We're in him and him in us. No, oh, my friend, no wonder we should shout when we read these verses, if God be for us, who can be against us? It can be no otherwise. It can't be otherwise. It's utterly impossible for a charge to be brought against the believer in the God of the resurrection. Did you know that? How wonderful that is. Now, I'm not talking about standing at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about we wouldn't get to the judgment seat of Christ had it not been for him doing all that he had done for us. But I'm talking about a charge against me. There's no charge against me. It can never be brought against me again, because he paid it in full, and God will never try him again. Oh, the blessedness of his Son. For the simplest of reasons, the one whom he raised is the one whom he bruised for my sins. That's the simplest of reasons that a charge cannot be brought against me. God satisfied with his Son. Oh, the blessedness of him. Why did he raise him? Because the sins for which he bruised him were all put away, and how long? Were put away forever. Oh, when we trust him, what a blessedness. What a joy to read these wonderful words. The Lord Jesus had made himself answerable. He made himself answerable for us. If God be for us, Jesus had made himself answerable for me and for you. A little spot here upon the face of this earth. There are now approximately 6 billion people on the face of this earth. And he thought of me. He thought of you. He thinks of everyone. He thought as much, or thinks as much of the Hottentot in Africa as he does the President of the United States. For God so loved the world. And if the President of the United States and the Hottentot in Africa will accept him, then he's for them. He's for them. If we'll believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then God says we will have eternal life. You know, there cannot be a jot nor a tittle of accusation brought against me as far as God is concerned. Not one thing against us, if God be for us. No question can be raised about our justification, because I'm already justified. Surely God's for us. Let's read that these verses here in Romans 8 and see how wonderful they are. Romans 8 and begin at verse 32. Romans 8 and 32. Well, let's read 31, because that's about what we've been speaking. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, God is linked to us by for. God's linked to me and linked to you for. And he's for us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is going to condemn us? He died for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice all these who's. Who shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Listen, my Christian friends. Whenever anything happens in your life, no matter what it is, go back to Romans 8 and 28. No matter what happens in your life. And there we can see, and we know, Christian, work together. Things working together for good to them that love God. And if you're not saved, you love him. You should. Maybe not as much as we do, but we love him. For them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Just remember this. When you're having what it says here, tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, don't be fretting in this respect. God's still for you. He may be putting you through this to teach you a lesson, but God's still for you. God may, as we have sung in that song, teach me thy way, O Lord. And knowing this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, when all those things happen, we think something, the roof is failing, do we not? But it hasn't. God's still there. Jesus Christ is still seated at the right hand of God. He's the one who paid for our sin debt. And listen, my friend, if you'd have to spend 100 years in all those things that it means there, that cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And my friend, you're going to have an eternity to spend with God, and knowing there that God's been for us. God's for you, and God's for me. Now listen, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But that can't separate God from you and from me. Oh, my. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen. Are you? Paul said he was. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing. Because Christ created them all. And they were all created for him and by him. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There's your security, Christian. Isn't that wonderful? That's something of which we can lay our head on that pillow each and every night. My friend, if we could just understand this, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Oh, the blessing of God and His Word. I'd like to sing that song that we sang again, all the verses. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Number 527. And I want us to notice the words of them. How wonderful it is. Teach me thy way, O Lord, thy gracious aid afford.